Environmentally sound for your mind. HRNradio.com.
Good morning. You're listening to Guiding Stars Evolutionary Astrology Radio. This is your host, Kristen Fontana. Guiding Stars is an interactive soul-centered astrology talk show using the symbolic language of evolutionary astrology to enlighten and empower you on this journey. If you've missed any prior broadcasts, there is an archives here at Healthy Life, and that archive button is right there next to the Listen Live button that you clicked on to hear this show. These are MP3 files that you are able to download for free within the archives, so do get a hold of them as soon as you can because they don't stay there forever, and we replace them with new shows. Also, if you have any comments or suggestions, we do want to know about it, or any topics that you would like to be discussed, you can email me through my website at kristenfontana.com. Before we get started, if you are just tuning in, we want you to know that there is a website available for you to learn more about evolutionary astrology. The website is schoolofevolutionaryastrology.com, and within the website we have a wonderful learning forum, the message board, where you can participate in practice threads or post questions in evolutionary astrology and connect with other studying astrologers and certified evolutionary astrologers. If you're interested in becoming a more serious student, we do have a correspondence course available for you to become certified if you wish, or to just get a hold of the information, which is the original course taught by the founder of EA, Jeff Green, back in the 90s, and that is a series of 27 DVDs that are sold in 3 segments of 9. I highly recommend this for anybody who's interested in taking a deeper dive in their travels, and so for more information about that, check it out on the website. All right, typically I'm here every last Wednesday of the month with Rose Marcus as we discuss the transits for the month ahead, as we did just a few weeks back. But we're gathering today to discuss some of the highlights of 2019, and we will repeat this show next week to lead you into the new year. And I wanted to give you guys a heads up so you're prepared for what's coming. So I'd like to welcome Rose back to Guiding Stars. Welcome back, Rose.
Thank you very much, Kristen.
You're welcome. Anything? Oh, I should announce, of course, tomorrow there is a EA Zoom meeting with 22 astrologers that do the Jeffrey Wolf Green method. They're all shorter segments, but I don't know the best way. If anybody wants me to email you the link, I will. I know I advertised it in my newsletter. But every topic under the sun, really a lot of it focusing on the current transits right now. Rose will be there as well. Some other guests that I have, frequent guests on my show and that I've had on Guiding Stars, will be there. Ari Moshe and Simon Forster, Kai Pacha, and et cetera. So Patricia Walsh, Laura Nalbandian. So anyway, email me if you need to know the link to get be able to tune in. And if you can't tune in, it's from 12 o'clock till 6 o'clock tomorrow. Wow, 6 hours. If you cannot tune in, then this link will become available on YouTube after the fact. So don't worry about it if you are not able to listen in live. All right, anything else, Rose?
It's going to be quite a marathon tomorrow.
What a marathon. Everybody only gets 15 minutes. I literally don't know how I'm going to do that one, but
we have to go really quick.
And I don't know how you're going to do that because you're talking about eclipses next year, but we'll tell you a little bit more about those in this show so they can get a more complete version, perhaps.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, we can only give you, just a real sampling in tomorrow's talk and today as well, too. We can see how intense life has been, and it's been going on for such a long time. You would think we would be getting used to it, but we're not. but intensity does continue, so... we are here today just finishing up the month of December, and before we get started, because it'll be on the recording, just wanting to wish everybody a happy holiday. Christmas Day looks like it'll be a smoother go than some of the previous years, so I wish you all the best for that. And as we launch into 2019, we start the year with New Year's Eve. It will be just before midnight. It's 6:30 Pacific time, which is 9:30 Eastern time, and you can check your other local time. But we have Mars moving into Aries. So we will hit the ground running in January for sure.
Yeah, I want to ask you, I don't mean to interrupt. I don't remember a time when this has occurred in the 20 years I've been doing astrology. I mean, I'm sure Mars has been in Aries in January or the end of December, moving into January, but never at that transition point from New Year's Eve to New Year's Day, I think is amazing.
Well, yes, and, you know, really in so many years past, and I actually don't have it written down right now, but we've had a lot of Mercury retrogrades to start the start of the year. A lot of times we haven't been able to get the year off the ground at the start of the year, but we certainly are going to get this one going real fast out the gate. And having come through 2018 with so many retrogrades, and we're still finishing up the Venus retrograde, and we're just barely out of Mercury retrograde, and on, I think we're all looking forward to, and Mars is in Pisces right now as well, too, I think we're all looking forward to getting on with it, you know, like, let's get on with it, right?
I agree. Oh, my gosh, it's just been brutal in that way. I think for the last 6 months, it's just this changing of the guard. You think you're on your way, and then something else slips into retrograde, and it's just like, not yet, not yet, not yet. This is unfinished, this is unfinished. And so, yeah, this is so symbolic, I feel, to have Mars in Pisces, the last sign of the zodiac. Mars is so important. It is the lead point in our evolution. It's the last sign of the zodiac. It's going to finish the last degree of Pisces on New Year's Eve, and even at night, even in the night. So in a lot of places, obviously, it will be New Year's Day when this happens, in Europe, etc. And where else? Like Asia and Australia, all those countries. But, you know, in this country, in the U.S., it'll be, you know, 6:30 and 9:30 back east. And so what a incredible signature for starting anew, clearing the decks, wiping the slate clean, or just healing what you can, bringing what you need to full circle so you can bring your all to this next new chapter.
Absolutely, and you know, the transit will cross over the zero Aries point, which is England and so forth. So if Mars moves into Aries in your locality, I mean, I think we'll hear the news. You know, there'll be some hot spots on the planet for that New Year's Eve. So it'll be very interesting to see, but certainly we are getting quite revved up.
What do you see that? What do you mean by hot spots?
Well, you know, it crosses over the geodetic. So whatever that 0 degrees is, the cardinal degrees, if we're looking at the geodetics over the planet, you know, anything that is at the 0 degrees, and 0 degrees is the Greenwich time, right? It goes right through England and so forth. So it's a much different feel to have Mars in Pisces as opposed to Mars in Aries, you know, for whatever locality you're in during New Year's Eve, I think, you know, kind of the promise of the year ahead. And as we jump into January, Mars is about a 6-week transit. We had a very lengthy Mars in Aquarius for 2018. Mars will stay in Aries to February 14. And in the month of January, we have two eclipses. So we have an eclipse on the a partial solar eclipse on January 5th. And a total lunar eclipse on January 20th, just to get things really rocking and
rolling. What day is the second one?
January 20th.
20th.
Yeah. So the...
Hey, sorry, but is that a total?
It's a total, right?
Mm.
So in terms of eclipses, you know, a total eclipse is more potent than a partial eclipse. Generally, you know, in terms of looking at mundane astrology, solar eclipses are considered more potent than lunar eclipses. I kind of beg to differ. I think that whatever aspects are going with the particular eclipse, you have to take each one of them individually. The solar eclipse on the 5th of January is at 15 degrees of Capricorn. So, and first of all, eclipses, solar eclipse is a new moon. So it is a new cycle beginning. It's a more potent new cycle. And that new cycle begins on something ending and something else beginning. So wherever that 15 degrees is in your chart, you'll see that that is stimulating a whole new cycle. And it's in the sign of Capricorn, which is a whole suggestion of, you know, getting it under better control, you know, launching a new reality base for you, however that might be. It might be to do with your career. It might be to do with how you do take charge and command, how you are legitimizing what it is that you need to do for yourself next. Capricorn's all about priorities, right? You know, and your relationship to external authority. Capricorn deals with the governing bodies. You know, it's all that kind of stuff there. You know, it's quite quite a potent transit. The eclipse comes along with Uranus stationing direct the very next day. So we have Uranus at station during the eclipse. And so that punches things up. The eclipse, Uranus starts the year. It has been in dynamic tension or in square aspect to the north and south nodes, the karmic axis. It's been doing that since, well, this last quarter of 2018. And as we move into 2019, that configuration is loosening, but it's still very potent on the eclipse. Uranus is 28 degrees as it stations direct, and the karmic axis or the nodes are 26 and a half. So they're within 2 degrees of stimulation. So we've got a lot of intensity with this particular chart here. We also have we have Mercury just moved into Capricorn, squaring the Mars. We have Saturn very very close to that eclipse as well too. This is really you know, it is a new crystallization, a new cement pour on a new reality. On January 7th, we've got Venus moving out of Scorpio and into Sagittarius. You know, we've got a lot going on right from the very start of the month.
One thing I wanted to mention also is that this eclipse is forming a sextile to Neptune. So while there's all this kind of reality and energy around reality, and of course with Mars and Aries there's new starts happening, new structures forming, I do feel with the sextile to Neptune that this, you know, is an opportunity to take things to a higher level in your life, whether it's spiritually or creating more a structure that creates a more ideal reality for yourself, whatever it may be. How do you see that sextile to the eclipse?
Well, yeah, that's, a sextile is always creative opportunity, and thank you for bringing up Neptune. Jupiter has recently moved into Sagittarius, which is its domicile, its natural sign. So any planet that is in its own natural sign is very, very dynamic, very strong. Neptune is in the sign of Pisces, which it has been doing for quite some time. For most of 2019, Jupiter in Sagittarius, Neptune in Pisces, maintain a dynamic aspect, the square aspect, for most of this year. So, Neptune. Neptune is traveling for this year between about 14 and 17 of Pisces, and it has been for the past number of years, picking up on the planetary nodes of Uranus, which it will continue to do in 2019. So Neptune is the planet of potential, and Jupiter in Sagittarius is about envisioning, and it is about taking the journey. So with these two aspects, with Neptune in creative angle to the nodes, there is a suggestion here that there is great creative opportunity for each and every one of us. We've come to, you know, Capricorn's about coming to the end of something. It's about coming to the finish line. And as we come to an ending, this Neptune on the eclipse is stimulating an opportunity to, as you said, to move to a higher level, to tap or to resource potentials that have not yet come into their own, not yet come into dimension or come into some kind of shape or form. We have something here. You may feel a sense of that. The whole Jupiter-Neptune transit is, I think, you know, Jupiter in Sagittarius is the planet that is really taking us to the future. You know, Sagittarius is future-oriented. Neptune's aspect here is infusing the moment with potential. And the piece of this is that we may have a sense and a feel, you may have a yearning, you may have a calling, you may have what have you. In any case, you know what where the limitations are in terms of perpetuating more of the same. So if there is something that is sparking for you, something that is, you know, grabbing your heart or calling to you, and it might be a weak, you know, a weak call to begin with, give it space. The whole thing is that we can never really know where we are headed. But for sure, 2019 is introducing us to our future. It is doing that with these eclipses in Capricorn, with a nodal axis in Cancer Capricorn, with Uranus and Chiron moving into new signs. You know, we are being introduced. So we have to travel hopefully, even though we are uncertain of what it's going to look like once we get there. Right?
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Kristen, I wrote a very long article on Jupiter and Sagittarius and talking exactly about this. I haven't posted it on my website yet, but will in the next couple of days. But I was using the recent NASA space exploration to Mars as a metaphor for this Jupiter-Neptune transit. And, you know, here we, and that Mars space mission was called InSight, which is so ideal for Jupiter and Sagittarius, do you not think?
No, InSight.
InSight, you know.
Yeah, that's so perfect.
You know, and Sagittarius is about traveling to a foreign land, right? You know,
mm-hmm.
So, and just to kind of metaphorically speaking, you know, we have this intention to travel to the foreign land, you know.
Mm-hmm.
No idea what we're going to find once we get there, right?
Right.
But, you know, NASA's plan for the Mars exploration is to go there and to sample and to gather information with the intention of moving quite fast to get there to actually colonize the planet. Their projection is 2035 to start colonizing Mars.
That's amazing.
You know,
that's
and
crazy.
It just think about that as a metaphor for where you're going. You know, you're traveling to a foreign land, the future. You have no idea what it's going to look like when you get there, you know.
Mm-mm.
But you've got to travel, hopefully. Right now, we cannot stay where we are because we're using up all the fuel, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the goodness is being used up. So somewhere, you know, regardless. And, you know, here's the thing. We have such uncertain times. You know, Neptune's in the sign of Sagittarius. We've had Chiron in Sagittarius for the past, whatever it is, 8.5 years, and so on. But the future is always an unknown. Right, you know.
Right.
So we have to create. This is the Neptune sextile to this eclipse. We have to create the opportunity by aspiring, by allowing ourselves to imagine a new reality. Right, you know, to you know, to go there and kind of walk around it in terms of your I was going to say your mind's eye, but maybe your heart's eye, right? You know, and to see what it feels like. The more that you can create in terms of the envisioning, the better the potential is to realize that.
Yes.
Right?
It's absolutely, and it makes so much sense with Uranus retrograde in Aries right now, or just Uranus being in the sign of Aries. That being that Mars rules Aries, right, and all of this. Discovery stuff, and it feels like time is speeding up. It says, especially with Uranus.
Absolutely, absolutely, and you know, it has been. I'm shocked that we are already at the end of the year.
It is true. The older you get, the faster time flies. Just function of aging, but
yeah.
I agree.
Now, one other thing I want to say, I just heard the station break, but one other thing I want to say about eclipses, just I've said this many times before, but an eclipse is potent if it is making direct contact on your chart. If it isn't, it's going to be a more general influence. It'll be a more punched up new moon or a more punched up full moon, all right? You know, so you have to see where that is actually hitting on your chart.
Mm-hmm.
However, knowing that the eclipse is drawing in from Uranus squaring the nodes and so forth, despite the fact that this is a new moon, the eclipse is still in balsamic relationship to Pluto and in balsamic relationship to the south node. That's a culminating pattern. The eclipse at 15 degrees, Saturn is 11 degrees. It is in new phase to Saturn, so we're still moving through. An eclipse, as I always say, is like plucking the string of a musical instrument. It's potent when it happens, but it has a duration of time. I feel these eclipses have already been activated through the month of December. And, of course, they'll be potent around the time that they actually happen. But eclipses launch a cycle that is actually 2 to 3 years long in its potency. Of course, it wanes over that period of time like a musical note does, you know, plucking that string. But a solar eclipse will be generating for about 3 to 6 months in some kind of more, you know, visible way.
All right. I heard the break message. We need to take a quick break. And also just on the, right before we do that, remember, too, that, you know, if it's not something going on in your immediate reality, you will be observing it in the world or in the other lives around you of those that you know and care about. So anyway, we will share more about that after the break. We'll be right back.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
All right, we are back. I'm here with Rose Marcus, and we are discussing windows of time in the next year, 2019, eclipse activity in particular. We love talking about those. She's got some planets in the fourth, don't you, Rose? Do you have anything in Cancer? I have a Cancer rising, so I'm all about eclipses.
Yeah, absolutely. I have Uranus in Cancer and South Node in Cancer, so yep.
I always feel them.
Yeah, always feel them, for sure.
And one thing that we've talked about before, that if you do have a predominance of Cancer energy, whether it's strong fourth house, planets in Cancer, or planets conjunct the moon, and of course the eclipse has to be contacting planets in your chart for you to really experience it in the way that we're talking about it, but typically you are lunarly wired. Is that a word? I don't know, but I just made it one. And so very tuned into the moon, the phases of the moon, and you feel it all. and you know, this is how we evolve, right? Through the feeling body, through the emotional door. And so eclipses are an opportunity to propel you into something, through something. It gives you a little shove, whether you want it or not. it will.
And what we say with the eclipses, too, is that they're non-negotiable. You know, the changes that take place during an eclipse are here to stay, right?
Something like a Pluto transit.
Yeah, like a Pluto transit. Yeah, absolutely.
There was one other thing I wanted to mention on the first eclipse, or I don't think you brought it up unless I missed it. I'm such a Sag, I can't help myself, but I'm always looking for aspects within an intense transit as release points or something to offset some of the intensity. Of course, if the intensity is something really good happening, we don't want to offset that. But Venus is in Scorpio, which is not a light energy at all, mm-hmm. but it is trining the transiting north node. So that is also something that is linked with Venus being in Scorpio. This has to do with what your soul needs, right, in order to evolve. It can help deepen your connection to others. I definitely see this on a very practical level as something contractually binding, potentially occurring for people that have the power to help you in some way. So we've got, not only do we have Neptune involved, which is sextiling this new moon eclipse, it's a higher octave of Venus, which is something more ideal for you, or maybe a higher expression or evolved expression of where you've been. Invisible door opening, perhaps. Venus, the lower octave of Neptune, will be trining the North Node, leading you into your future. Remembering that the transiting North Node is in the sign of Cancer, which is ruled by the moon, and this is a lunar event. So I just wanted to
add to that as well, too, that Venus at 28 degrees Scorpio is forming a trine to Chiron, which is at 28 degrees Pisces. So we have a trine, a grand trine in water between Chiron trining the North Node in Cancer, trining the Venus in Scorpio. And we could toss a Ceres in there as well, too, which is 22 degrees. But, with eclipses, we like tight angles, but this is still a grand trine for that. So Chiron and Pisces is, again, what is fated and destined for you, will be energized by that Venus, by that North Node. That's already in the works because the node has been trining Chiron for a little while it's backed into Pisces, which it did at the end of September and continuing to February 18. Chiron in Pisces is exposing. Pisces is exposing. It opens something up, something that is well timed for now, for you to be able to resource for your greater good. So that's adding to that transit.
Great. I do feel it's important. So when people hear the word eclipse, they tend to panic. Or when people hear the word Pluto transit, of course they panic. Or Uranus transit. It's really important to see what else is going on and what energies you can partner with and align with and be aware of, so you don't create a kink, right, in the hose, so to speak.
Right.
You want to keep all doors open, everything open. I do love that so much that I loved it, but it was a perfect way to say what an eclipse is: non-negotiable. And it is very much about, it's what your soul is calling in. It's not like the universe is picking on you. It's like being in the middle of a wave. You're not going to turn back and change your mind once you're in it. You got to carry. You got to ride it all the way till till it finishes itself out. There's no way that you're going to be able to fight the tide. Nor would you want to. It would create further injury. So you have to, step into it and do what you can.
That's exactly it. Neptune is an open up to it, mm-hmm. and just on that note, thinking that when you are like, if you're in a car accident, if you see that coming, if you're in something like that and you tense up, you tend to damage your body more. If you can relax and go with it, you can come out the other end, not entirely unscathed, but at least it's an easier way. It's like that. Go with the flow. That's Pisces. That's a water element here. Open up to it. And with the Capricorn piece of that, too, don't prejudge. Allow it to come into being and allow it to float with it until it reveals more for you. That would be maybe good advice for the eclipse.
Awesome. All right, we need to move to another break. We spent too much time, I think, in our first segment there, Rose, but we'll be right back with more after this.
Timeless information for your self-care and health. HRNradio.com.
All right, we are back. I'm here with Rose Marcus, rosemarcus.com. If you want to check out her website, wonderful monthly forecast, weekly forecast. And we're discussing some highlights Actually, we're still in January, so we're just talking about January, aren't we, Rose? We're not talking about the whole year. I don't know if we have time
for
that.
Yeah, we'll mention the year as we get on, but I do want to mention the other eclipse that takes place in January, which is a total lunar eclipse on January 20th. So this total lunar eclipse takes place at 051 Leo, so the moon is almost 1 degrees of Leo, and the sun, of course, moves into Aquarius on the 20th, and this total lunar eclipse is also a supermoon. So, first of all, it's punched up because it is an eclipse. It's punched up even more because it's a total eclipse, and it's punched up even more because it's a supermoon, which means that it's in closer proximity to the Earth, affecting the tides, right? You know, so if you have any planets that are at you know, the early degrees of the fixed signs, Leo, Taurus, Scorpio, and Aquarius, this one's for you, okay? And so lunar eclipses bring into being that which has been on brew but that has not been met the full light of day. And, of course, it's a lunar eclipse in Leo, which is, again, opposing the sun, a creative opportunity. You know, the Leo-Aquarius axis has been emphasized over the past 18 months. We had eclipses there in 2017 and, I think, going back into 2016. So we're already familiar with this energy, and the Leo-Aquarius theme is, you know, personal reinvention, social reinvention, social politics reinvention, keeping everything hot-wired, so to speak. And this eclipse is interesting because we have Venus and Jupiter conjunct at 14, 15 degrees of Sagittarius, and they are forming a trine to Mars in Aries. So we have Jupiter, Venus, and Mars, which is quite potent. You know, so that's going to get something really moving. And with Venus and Jupiter, you know, that can be very opportune. It can be very lucrative, or it can be very, you know, it can be wonderful for, you know, for moving you towards whatever it is that that is compelling or drawing, or, you know, the direction that your soul is asking you to go into, you know. So there's excellent, excellent potential to move yourself to higher ground, or to move yourself in a new direction, or to, you know, take a risk on something new. Venus and Jupiter maintain a square relationship to Neptune. So again, expect something, you know, out of the blue, or something to be revealed that you didn't see before, you know, suggesting it brings you to a whole new reality. Yes?
Yes. Yes. Definitely.
Yes.
This is another one of those. I'm looking at both of them. They feel mixed with potential.
Mixed with potential, you know, something unforeseen, whatever it is that gets going is fast-tracked with this particular eclipse. And, you know, looking at the chart of Donald Trump, you know, both the eclipses of January 5th and the January 20th are very hot on his chart. So not surprising to know that, because there's plenty of action coming in terms of U.S. politics, I would say. Correct?
Oh, my gosh, every day.
Yeah.
Well, one thing that is happening, of course, while those eclipses are going to make some direct hits in his chart, the second one in particular, I know... Well, actually, both of them. But Pluto is progressively opposing his Saturn in Cancer, which is definitely about his wheels coming off and and more being revealed by the day. But what do you predict is going to happen in January?
Well, you know, exactly. The January 20th eclipse, the transiting nodes are at 26 Cancer Capricorn, and his Venus is, you know, 25, almost 26. The his progressed series position is zero Aquarius, which the eclipse hits directly. His progressed Saturn is two, well, it's almost three Leo, which the eclipse hits directly, right? You know, so, yeah, this is a very dynamic eclipse for him. And the other one on the 5th has even more. What is that? That 15 degrees. Has Chiron at 14. Chiron Juno at 14 degrees Libra, and Jupiter at 17. So this eclipse hits that as well too. And you know that Saturn Venus conjunction that Donald Trump has, 23 degrees Cancer, 25 degrees for Venus. You know, really speaks to the family being drawn into that as well too, right? You know, so he's not only taking down himself, but I think he's taking down his family members too, right? And all the people that are connected to him, right?
So, exactly.
Yeah. So there's plenty going on. And looking forward in the year, you know, generally we have, in terms of a year, we have about four eclipses. Four or five is very common. Six or seven is intensifying the year. But there's also an eclipse on July 2nd, which is relevant to the USA chart, right? You know, so that's July 2nd. And that is a solar eclipse, and it's a solar total eclipse. So 10 degrees of Cancer Capricorn.
What degrees is it?
10 degrees. 10 degrees. And Donald Trump's Mercury is almost 9 degrees Cancer. So that might, you know, signify a, you know, a specific person involved in, you know, I don't know, I don't have Robert Mueller's chart in front of me, but, you know, but it does, you know, it's going to be a difficult year for him any way you look at it, right? Yeah, for sure. So know that it is quite a year. And then the next eclipse is on July 16. And that July 16 eclipse is 24 degrees. It's a partial lunar eclipse, 24 degrees Capricorn. So Capricorn Cancer on that eclipse. On that eclipse, Venus is conjunct the North Node in Cancer. You know, again, these eclipses are quite potent. For the eclipse on the 16th of July, Venus is 16 degrees Cancer, Saturn is 16 degrees Capricorn. So we have a Venus-Saturn opposition, which tends to be pretty difficult for economics, right? You know, and of course, you know, that's a real suggestion of another culminating point or an ending point or so on. So a time of reconciling. Reckoning, I meant to say.
Of reckoning, indeed. All right. Well, hopefully it won't take six more months, but I've been saying that for 2 years and we're still here, so.
Well, I think we have very dynamic stars in April and May, and do expect it to be March, April, May. Do expect there to be a lot going on during that period of time politically.
In terms of what?
Well, you know, whatever is going on with Donald Trump and, and so forth, right?
Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's move to another break, and we'll just be back for our last segment for a few more tidbits to prepare you for the new year. We'll be right back.
When you need a positive point of view, turn to HealthyLife.net, your 24/7 radio network for a better future.
All right. We are back, and we are discussing 2019, some of these highlighted windows of time, of course, the two eclipses that are coming in January. If Mars and Aries was in enough fire for you and emotion and steam, we've got plenty there. And then obviously 6 months later, Rose was discussing the big eclipse around July 2nd for impacting the U.S. and all that's going on here right now. What else do you have before we...
I have to finish out the year with the eclipses. The last eclipse of the year takes place on Christmas Day 2019.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't looked that far ahead.
Yeah, I know. You know, it's like I can't even get there. But it's 4 degrees Capricorn with Jupiter at 5 degrees Capricorn. So, and trining Uranus and Taurus. So I am hoping that by the time we get to the end of the year, we feel like we're getting someplace good.
Is that a new moon?
It's a new moon, solar eclipse, yes.
Oh, that sounds like it's decently well aspected with the trine and Uranus, huh?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So there's some good stuff to look forward to. So, You know, as we, you know, our philosophy is in evolutionary astrology, you know, be courageous, do your work, right? You know, because the faster you get on track with whatever it is that that your soul is compelling you to do or desires for you to do for your own greater good, the faster you get on with it, the faster you get over to the other side where, you know, where, as I always say, the Oasis and the dancing girls are.
Oh, yeah. You don't want to come back and do it again. You might as well just jump in.
Yeah, absolutely. The faster you can move through it, you know, the better. Let's get in there and just blast through whatever we need to. So in terms of looking forward to 2019 as well, too, so we have had in 2018, we've had little tasters of both Uranus moving into Taurus and Chiron moving into Aries. And they both did that about the same time. Both have taken a retrograde. Chiron moved back into Pisces at the end of September, and Uranus moved back into Aries on the election day, November 6, 2026. Chiron moves back into Aries on February 18, and Uranus moves into Taurus on March 6. Both of these are very long transits. Uranus through a sign is 7 years, and so we are now moving into Uranus in Taurus. And Uranus in Taurus is going to reinvent, you know, what we value. And Uranus in Taurus is a signature for survival on the planet. You know, very interesting to me. I noticed this, Kristen. I know that you did. You know, Uranus has been squaring the karmic axis. You know, and it did that at the end of October, and it did that at the end of November. You know, it's been continuously working with us. You know, that's what we call any planet squaring the karmic axis, we call skip step, right? You know, this Uranus, this last one, as it formed that that final exact opposition with the nodal axis, what I heard was this, I think, subtle but very large switch out there in the ethers about global warming and about climate change and about getting on with these new initiatives. It was very interesting. You know, the countries are dragging their heels and they're going to do the, you know, drop the emissions, but they're going to do that over length of time, you know, and it's like, oh, we've got time. And now this sense of urgency has happened and it's a new wave that's come in, a new consciousness that's come in. And we're just at the very start of it. So I was very, I felt very hopeful to just see that out of various political, social, you know, economic factions. You know, one company, I forgot what the name it was, donated their whole tax credit that they got from the government was like, I don't know, $10 million to climate change initiatives, right? You know, so lots of stuff coming up there.
Oh, that's cool.
You know, yeah, so it's great. You know, so Uranus and Taurus, you know, that's very, you know, it's major. Uranus, it takes 84 years to get around to coming back to that sign. This is a once-in-a-lifetime transit for most of us. If you're in your 80s and you were born with this, you know, that was took place, again, I'm not quite sure the dates, but like about 1928 to about 1934-ish, somewhere in there, you know, that was a time of recession, right? You know, we have to devise a new way of existing on this planet, and we have to do that economically, and we have to do that morally and spiritually as well, too, right?
Definitely.
You know, so, you know, so that's a huge transit. Chiron, moving into Aries, Chiron's orbit is elliptical, so it doesn't spend the same length of time in each of the signs. It moves very fast through Virgo and Libra, for example, and it takes a long time to move through Pisces, but its longest transit is in Aries. So Chiron will stay in Aries to April of 2027. And by the way, Uranus stays in Taurus till April 2026. So both of these planets, planetary influences, are setting a whole new reality base into play. And, you know, Chiron in Aries for 2019 Won't be making too many aspects, but it is still very relevant for us. So, you know, Chiron in Aries really calls upon the warrior self, you know, to come out and do battle with reality, right? You know, if you have any planets at 0 to about 6 degrees, Chiron's going to be influential in your chart. Uranus goes up to about 6 degrees of Taurus this year. So these are major transits. The nodal axis moved into Cancer Capricorn in November. That's an 18-month transit here. We have to finish up with the old business, and we have to find a way to get more consistent, or to apply ourselves more consistently to laying a groundwork that is going to support us in a more solid way, a more more succinct way, as we build our way towards our future. And I wrote about this in my that Jupiter article, as I was saying that for 2019, Jupiter is kind of shepherding, you know, the rest of the planets towards the 2020 alignment in Capricorn. That 2020 alignment that everybody is talking about has already been in effect. Pluto has been back and forth over 20 degrees for at least a year. So we are already on the program. We have just a little bit more to finish off, but certainly in a few years, reality is going to look a heck of a lot different than it is today. And so the faster we get with the program, the better it is for us personally, socially, collectively, you know, globally.
I love the word you use for that, my third house Pluto, that Jupiter is shepherding the planet. It is in Sagittarius, which is all about natural laws, and wow, with the potential to try and reverse some of this global warming, et cetera, that would, it's just time, it's now, it's got to happen, and doesn't like Jupiter to remind people of the truth of what is necessary. So thank you so much for that hour. We'll be back with Rose in a month, the last, let's see, what date I'm going to give it on air here, on the 24th of January. We're going to do our next transit show, so we will be walking you through the year as usual. And happy solstice, and have a wonderful holiday, everybody. You as well, Rose. And remember to tune in to EA Zoom tomorrow, and email me if you need the link. Thanks so much. Until next time, namaste.